Certainly, as the song says, as the children are being dismissed, God is so good.
Amen.
And out of our response, as we just heard the choir sing, so we therefore adore Him, don't we? And isn't it an exciting time as we get into this holiday season, and we have just completed the Thanksgiving celebration, but we're now full force into Christmas season, and I know many of you, it's the favorite time of the year, right? This wonderful Christmas season. And so today, as we begin this season of Christmas, we're beginning a new sermon series. I want to invite you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, and we'll be looking at verses 1 through 5. By way of help, every time we go deep into the Old Testament, I try to give a little help. It's on page number 784 of your Pew Bible, if you have that. And so that's where that's located. But we are beginning a new sermon series through what is considered the Advent season in the Christian calendar. And we're going to be looking at it through a different lens this time as we approach it. We're going to be looking at some prophetic passages that touch on the Advent themes, this Advent season. Of course, delivered hundreds and hundreds of years ago. We're looking at it through the lens of prophecy, but we're going to be looking at several passages specifically through the book of Isaiah, which touches on these Advent themes. And as we look at these passages, we're going to take a glimpse of what took place prophetically, looking forward, but also how it relates to us in the present time. So join me as we get started. Isaiah 2, once again. Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 5. Isaiah 2 verses 1 through 5 goes on to say that the word of that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, as we come to this portion of the service, we're reminded that there are so many needs, and we have even prayed for healing for so many, and as just was brought to my attention, Stephanie Russell is going to be having some medical procedures for her knee and such this coming week. We ask, O Father, that You be with her during this time. But there is great needs, both physical and spiritual need, throughout our land and even throughout the churches and our church and within our church family. We're so thankful that so many years ago that You placed Your principles in the Word of God so that we can find help in time of need. Help us to look at these prophetic passages and find Your truths, and help us, O Lord, to apply it to our lives in the present. Bless this time. May You be exalted. May You be glorified. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we examine this passage, once again, it is a prophetic passage. The audience is Judah. The audience is Jerusalem. It's talking about their future, a glimpse of the future, of what much of what in this passage hasn't even been accomplished, hasn't been fulfilled yet. But rest assured, as it's talking about the future related to them and to the people of God as a whole, we are reminded that we can be assured that it will come to pass. So as we look at the principles that are being taught in this prophetic passage, we can glean something from them and for this present time. So we're going to look at it this morning. As we look at a passage such as this, with the emphasis on worshiping our great God. It was an emphasis back then in this passage, and as it points to the future, there will be the worship of God in the future by the nations. But also, shouldn't we in the present worship Him now, right? So let's take some principles found in this prophetic passage and just break it down and look at it this morning. First of all, notice that as we look at this passage, there is an emphasis on there being a time of divine teaching. A time of divine teaching. In this passage, we get a glimpse of the future of the nations. They are gathered together to worship the Lord. They are learning, notice this, from the Creator Himself. The Creator is teaching His creation. We have a vision of the Lord teaching the nations God's Word. Both the Gentiles, both the Jews and the Gentiles are being taught by the Lord and are walking in His ways. This is a glimpse of what the future shall be. But as we think of the present time, isn't this something that we ought to be looking at and applying to our lives right now? I was reminded as I was looking through this passage that we have received what? The Great Commission. In fact, the disciples, as Jesus is highly lifted up, right? As He's preparing to ascend back to the Heavenly Father and receive exaltation and glorification. All of these things are taking place. And what does He deliver to His disciples? He gives them the Great Commission. I was reminded of what we see in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. He goes on to say, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so this is a mission that He has given to us as followers of Jesus Christ. He has imparted this to us. He gave it to the disciples back then as He ascended back to the Father. And it continues to this day and time where we have been instructed to, yes, receive the teaching of Almighty God on a daily basis through our time with the Lord. To receive the teaching of the Lord as we look toward the Word of God, as we hear the teaching in small groups or Sunday school or even in a church service, to receive His teaching in the Word of God. But also we have been commanded to go and teach others, right? About the things of the Lord and about His ways. Now, I believe that this applies both globally and locally and also individually. Think of it for a moment globally. We just saw a wonderful video presentation of what that looks like, right? We saw the testimonies of missionaries that have been all throughout the world. And what did they do? They spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with people all throughout the world because they quit looking at them as just people of the world and people of the nations and looked at them as what? People. See, that's the kind of glimpse and the view that we take away as we see from the lens of Jesus and we have the heart of Jesus. We will see people, yes, of the nations, but yet, at the end of the day, they're just people. People need the Lord, right? As that wonderful song reminds us of, people need the Lord. And so we have an opportunity. Maybe there are some that feel led to be missionaries all throughout the world. But if that's not your calling, if that is not your gifting, you could still partner and participate. We can surround these missionaries with prayer and pray over them and pray for them. We can come together in partnership as a body of believers and also partner with other sister churches to financially support them and to send them so that the nations, right? The nations can be taught. But it's a global thing. But once again, it's also a local thing, right? We have a responsibility as believers in Christ to minister and present the gospel of Jesus Christ and to teach the things of the Lord in our local domain. Wherever we are at, we have a responsibility to do so. I'm reminded about even the testimony of that one missionary, and he talked about how, you know, you go global, but you need to have a passion, basically, for local as well. We need to have a heart for the people that surround us, and how easy it is to think glamorously about worldwide missions and how important it is, and we are called to do so. But we have neighbors, right? Across the way and across the road, and we are called to minister to them as well. And so it's a call to teach and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ globally. It's a call to share the gospel of Jesus Christ locally. It's also a call to share it individually, right? So we need to teach the things of the Lord and God's way individually, as we all have a responsibility, because it's easy to put that task on someone else. But the Great Commission is what? Given to what? All believers. We all have an individual responsibility. And we all have circles of influence that we can touch and connect with and to interact with and have impact upon that other people do not have. That's not their circle of influence. That's our circle of influence. And you might be saying today, but you don't understand, I'm not gifted with the gift of teaching per se. And that's okay, because some of the greatest teachers I have ever known weren't teachers from a traditional standpoint. They are teachers that taught me through their lifestyles. And I know that you can relate to individuals within your life in which you saw by their example, you saw by their way of living, it taught you by how they walked the talk. Not necessarily teaching a lesson per se, but they taught with their lives. And that's something that each and every one of us can do, right? And so the focus of this passage, once again, the prophetic passage, is that there is a time of divine teaching. Secondly, notice this. There is a time of peace. Aren't you thankful that as we look forward to and as prophecy teaches us, that there will eventually be a time of peace accomplished and introduced by the Prince of Peace? I know you have heard the politicians claim that they can solve the issues of the world and have tried to accomplish peace. And history books are riddled with those that promise that they could establish peace. But the truth of the matter is there will be no peace worldwide until the Prince of Peace comes and establishes fully His kingdom as He returns a second time here on the earth. But the prophecy gives us great hope, because it's a promise. We can understand it will be fulfilled someday, that there will be a time of peace. The nations will live in harmony. There will be a time of worldwide peace. And so this prophecy of the future provides us also a hope of the future. But not only that, but also a hope for the present. You see, even though we are in a time period in which there is much chaos and turmoil and such, we're reminded that even in a time of turmoil and chaos, that as believers in Christ, we can do what? Be filled with peace. I love what John 14, verse 27 reminds us of. It's not about the circumstance or the situation or the cultural context that you're in which you can experience this peace. In fact, many believers in Christ all throughout the course of history and through the course of Christianity have been in very chaotic and tumultuous times, yet they experienced this peace that is referenced by Jesus Himself. In fact, He promised that He would give you inward peace as you rely on Him. John 14, verses 27, the words of Jesus Himself to His disciples. And we're reminded that He went on to say, "Peace I leave with you." Aren't you thankful for that peace this morning? He has left us His peace. His presence gives us His peace. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I know that there are certainly many things within this world that will cause one to be afraid and to be fearful. But don't let those things fill you with fear. But as we move in faith, we can embrace our relationship with the Lord and be filled with faith and be filled with hope and be filled with peace. As followers of Jesus Christ, we're reminded that we are also called to what? Be people of peace. There is enough people in the world today that are stirring up strife, that are stirring up envy, that are stirring up problems in the world today. There's enough troublemakers in the world. We certainly don't have to join them. But as God's people, we should be people of peace. I love what Romans 12 verse 18 goes on to say about this. It says, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. You know, that passage goes on to describe the type of people that you're trying to live at peace with. It goes on to talk in that passage and, of course, in other passages, that it's not just about the people that are good to us, but it's actually about the people who are not good to us at times. It's actually talking about the people that are enemies to us. And you must be Spirit-filled, right, in order to offer peace and kindness and gentleness and love to your enemy. And that's exactly what God has called us to. A higher calling for the believer in Christ. That we are not just merciful and kind and loving to those who love us. But the higher calling for the believer in Christ is that we are loving and kind to those who are our enemies. Reminded in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 verses 9. Reminds us, blessed are the peacemakers. As followers of Christ, we're called to be filled with peace. We're called to be people of peace. So some wonderful principles that are given to us by this prophetic passage that once again applies to the present and to our present lives. It teaches us once again that there is a time of divine teaching. It teaches us once again that there's a time of peace. And thirdly and finally, the prophetic principle in this passage that we can apply to our lives in the present and to our day and time is that we are called to walk in the light. In this passage, we're reminded that the future will be filled with the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are also reminded that He is the light of the world, yes, in the future, but He is the light of the world in the what? Present. He is the light of the world. John 8, verse 12 records Jesus, and once again he's having a conversation with His disciples. And what does He go on to say as He speaks to them? He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows Me shall not walk into darkness, but have the light of life. Once again, I don't have to remind you, and interestingly enough, we have a flickering light that I didn't realize was going to be there. That's awesome. But we're reminded that the world is dark, right? But we have the light of the world. We're so thankful that He is the light of the world. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we're called to live at times in a dark world, but yet His light shines brightly, and we are called to follow that light, to fellowship in the light. 1 John 1 verse 7 reminds us that if we walk in the light, as He is what? In the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so this light should affect us, and it should affect how we fellowship with other believers. But not only how we affect and fellowship with other believers, but also how we interact with also what unbelievers. Once again, we are called to be light in the darkness. Last night, Star and I had an opportunity to catch up with some old friends. In fact, the last time we saw them, they were college friends. They had moved to Washington, the state of Washington. Last time we had saw them, only one of our sets had a child. We had taken old Connor, a little toddler, on a plane. And that was quite the adventure in and of itself, out to his wedding. And so we were a part of that wedding. That's the last time we actually saw them in person. And then last night, they had come into town, and that was a special time. We went out to dinner with them, And so they had their family. We had three out of four of our children with us, and they had their three children. And here they were all grown up. And it was a reminder of how time flies, right? But in the course of conversation, we got talking about how challenging it is for them to be on the West Coast. They were reminded as they came into the Bible Belt and got to catch a Liberty game, a football game, and to be reminded that it was okay to pray in public and it was okay to share one's faith, that they do face those challenges. And we had a little bit of a conversation about that last night and all the challenges that they face in their culture and even at their job sites, and the threat of being sued every time one goes religious, right? That there's an effort on the West Coast, at least with their experience as they shared with us, a different climate, a different culture. But as we went on to talk about, there is more of an opportunity. Yes, is it easier to be around believers in Christ? Certainly it is. Yeah, that support system, it is a blessing for sure. But there's times where there's more of an opportunity to make a greater impact in the darkness where there's lost souls, being the light that shines brightly. And so we talked about that, and as they made their way back to Washington, I believe my friend Scott Marlowe is going to be arriving or has already arrived, and the family's going to follow shortly after as they make their flight and their return back to the state of Washington. I was reminded that as they go their separate ways, Lord willing, and with God's hand, and with the Spirit filling them and empowering them, they can be a light to what in their time and in their place is often a discouraging and very dark place. But that is what we as believers in Christ have been called to. Be that light in the darkness. Y'all have heard me say it very often. One of my favorite passages is Matthew 5, verse 16. But I want to quote from Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, which it goes on to remind us that you, that's me, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives a light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Jesus, the light of the world, who has called us as followers of Jesus Christ to fellowship with other believers and be a light to others, has also called us individually to be a light to the world, a dark place at times, certainly a desperate place at times, a discouraging place at times. But as we depend upon the Lord, we can make an impact. We can make a difference. We don't have to just look forward to the future, but we can make an impact as we are Spirit-filled and Spirit-led right now and in this present time. We're reminded in this prophetic passage, we have been called to worship God. We have a glorious future in that we will be worshiping the Lord for all eternity, but we worship Him and we find hope in His teaching now. We are called to also share that teaching of God and the Word of God with others. We are called to carry the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and hurting world so that they can also find hope, so that they can find the peace of God as well. And so we're called to walk in the light. We are called to be the light as followers of Jesus Christ. But maybe you're here today and you can relate to the picture that's on the screen right now, the flickering light. Maybe you can relate to the fact that there's a lot of darkness around. And maybe you personally have been blinded by the things of this world and the darkness and have been deceived by the enemy. As we close today, we simply want to point you to the light of the world that has been mentioned this morning. We point you back to Him. for He cares for your soul, for He loves your soul. And as we go back in time, we remember that some 2,000 years ago, Jesus went to the cross for you and for me. And He was lifted up on that cross because of the darkness and the desperate condition of the world, who needed the light of the world to take away their sins. And so when He went to the cross and He sacrificed Himself, He did so for your sins and for my sins, to pay the penalty of our sins, so that when one receives Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they will be saved. So in closing, follower of Jesus Christ, be the light as He is the light. Fellowship with other believers. Be a light to a lost and hurting world. And if you're here today and you never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, come to the light of the world and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior by faith. Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful and blessed to look at a passage that is a prophetic passage. We're always reminded that even in prophecy, there's always things that can apply to our lives that we can relate to, that we can relate to in the present. And so we thank You, Father, for who You are, that You are the God of old, but You are the God of the ages, and You're a God who is for yesterday, today, and forever. And so Your people have gathered together to worship Your name. We're just not going to wait till that day in the future. We desire to worship You now in spirit and in truth. We praise You. We thank You, Father, for the hope of salvation and the peace of God, which certainly passes all understanding, which guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We are grateful for those things as believers in Christ. We now acknowledge You and acknowledge our need for You in this desperate, desperate world that is sinful and desperately in need of the Savior. Help us, O Lord, to carry out Your message. Help us, O Father, to rely completely upon You and depend upon You for Your strength and Your guidance and Your direction and the wisdom from Almighty God as we carry out the mission that You have called us to. We do pray. Help us to be a light in this world. We do pray. For the one that might be here that has never seen Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we pray, O Lord, that even right now they will come to the light and receive salvation by faith in Jesus Christ, forgiving them of their sins, promising a home in heaven in the future, but also that Your presence will be there with them in the present, right here and right now. Lord, as we come to this time, it's a time of response. Guide and direct. May we be obedient in how we do respond to You. We do pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.